Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
I'm curious, do you have anything in your life right now that is unfinished? Yeah, you're like, how long's my list? You have time? Right, all of us have something in our life, right, that's unfinished. Maybe you have a project that you started, or projects, and you haven't completed them. Maybe there's a conversation that you've been putting off, and it's unfinished. Maybe you have some goals that you set, but you haven't been able to, or haven't followed through with them, and it's unfinished. Maybe there's even parts of your life where, those parts of your life, they're just not where you know they should be, but in all of it, what have we learned? We've learned how to live with it, haven't we? Most of us are pretty good at managing what is unfinished in our life. We're good at that, and so we've learned to push it aside, to ignore it, right? The old la, 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 la type thing. And we've learned to tell ourselves, oh, it's okay, I'll deal with it later. But then there's a whole other category of unfinished in our life that we can't ignore. It's that stuff in our life that lives in our hearts, sometimes in our soul, under the surface. It's that guilt that you just haven't dealt with. It's that sin you keep going back to. It's the sense that you have that, man, I am not where I'm supposed to be at this stage of my life. It's the quiet awareness that no matter how much effort you put in, you know that something isn't right between you and the Lord. And you know that, and you feel that. And the question starts to arise in every single one of us, whether we say it out loud or not, is there any way for this to actually be finished? Is there any way for this to be fixed in my life? Is there any way for this guilt that I'm carrying to finally be gone? Is there any way for the shame that I have in my life to finally be lifted? Is there any way for the constant pressure that I feel to be removed and to finally be over? Because deep down, every one of us knows what it's like to carry something that we just can't fix on our own. We all know that feeling. In our series leading up to Easter, we've been looking at Jesus' last words on the cross. And today we come to one of the most powerful moments in history. Jesus is there hanging on the cross. He has suffered greatly. He's bloodied. He's been beaten. He's breathing his last few breaths. And in one of his last breaths, he gives this declarative declaration of triumph. In John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus says this, it is, everybody say it with me, it is finished. This isn't a whimper. This isn't a defeat. This isn't a sigh of exhaustion. Jesus' words are a declaration. Jesus' words are, in fact, a shout of victory. See, you've been trying to fix in your life what only Jesus could finish. And that's why, so like right now, starting now, you can just stop trying. You can stop trying now. It's time to be done with that because Jesus has taken care of it for us. The freedom that you've been fighting for, it's already yours if you will simply receive it. Now this phrase, it is finished, comes from the Greek word tetelestai. And tetelestai can be translated a few different ways. It means to end, to complete. It means to execute. It means to discharge a debt. And it was used in all sorts of contexts. For example, it was the word that a servant would use when reporting back to their master after they had completed an assignment. I've done everything you've asked me to do. Tetelestai. Or it was also the word that a merchant would stamp across a bill when a debt had been paid in full. Paid in full. Nothing else moving forward is owed. It's the word that a priest would speak when they examined at a sacrifice and they found it acceptable. This is perfect. Nothing more is needed. This is enough. It was also used in a judicial context in a court when a sentence had been fully served, not partially served, but fully served. It was used in a military context, meaning a battle had been won, that there is triumph, that there is victory. So when Jesus cried out to Tetelestai, he was declaring the work is complete. The debt is paid. The judgment for your sin, it's been fully, completely served. Jesus said, my sacrifice, it's enough. This spiritual war between sin and death and Satan that you and I have gone through, it's saying it has been completely won by Jesus Christ. He's completely victorious. Nothing more needs to be done, and nothing more needs to be added to the equation. In other words, everything that's necessary for our salvation, everything, it was done in that moment. The work of salvation, victory, righteousness, reconciliation, a new life is fully ours. And that is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Because of Jesus, the price for our sin, the debt for our sin, it's been fully paid. And make no mistake, a price has to be paid. A price has to be paid. In fact, you and I always pay a price for our sin. Sin, it always costs us something. And I want you to think about it. Sin, not measuring up to the standard of God, missing the mark with God. The great lie of sin is that, hey, sin, you know, yeah, it'll cost you, but it's okay because it's going to cost you pleasure and you're going to experience pleasure. Sin, it's okay because it's going to give you freedom. Sin, it's good. It's okay because you're going to have excitement and thrill in life. But what does sin really deliver? It delivers chains and regret and addictions and ultimately death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says this, for the wages of sin, in other words, our wage, what we earn, what we deserve, what's coming our way is death. Sin pays, but it pays in death. Scripture's just brutally honest about this reality for us. Sin isn't a personality quirk of yours or mine. Sin is not us just making some bad choices. Sin is outright rebellion against a holy God. Sin separates us from God. Sin stains our life. It breaks our life apart. It kills our life here and destroys our life for eternity. And Scripture is clear that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's holy standard. That's our human condition. And there's no exemption clause for any of us. And so what do we try to go do? Okay, well, I sin and we all sin. It's the human condition. Well, we try to solve it. And we try to solve the problem, but you can't outwork your sin. You can't go to church enough to erase the debt and the problem. You can't serve enough to cancel it. You can't be moral enough to overcome your sin. We can't be spiritual enough to like pay it back. Sin creates a debt we can't repay, and our good behavior will never be enough to clear the account. Imagine it this way. Imagine you have a credit card, and it's unlimited spending on it, unlimited credit. So you're like, sweet. You start going to town, spending and spending and spending and spending, and you just keep going, and they don't hold you accountable to it, and you keep going and going and going, and you think it's enjoyable, and you think it's great, and it seems exciting. And then one day, the bill comes due, and you look at the bill, and it's $2 million. And you're like, well, I don't have $2 million. I don't have any way to pay this bill. It's not possible for me to pay this bill. And you say, okay, well, I got to do what I can to make it right. Oh, I know what I'll do. I know. Oh, that's simple. I'll just go ahead and I'll start recycling. That'll cover my bill. Oh, I know. I'll just start helping out my neighbor. That'll take care of my bill. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll say something for once nice online. Our effort doesn't erase what is owed. You can never repay what is owed on your own. On the cross, Jesus is the one who paid it, not partially, not mostly, not almost, but fully. Tetelestai. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 says it best. It says that Jesus canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, and it condemned us to eternal death, to eternal separation from God. And Jesus has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. So I want you to really think about this for a moment. I want you to think about your sin list. Pull out your sin list right now. If you pull that out, what will you discover? First of all, it's extremely long, right? It's a long list. And I want you to think about that full list. And I want you to imagine, even for a moment, that it's full of every lie you've ever told. It lists out in detail every lustful thought, every idea of lust in your life. It lists out every selfish motive you've ever had, every hidden thought, every prideful moment, every act of rebellion, every wasted day, week, month, or year, every secret sin, every public failure. It's all listed out. And God's word tells us that list that you could never repay, what's happened to it? It's been nailed to the cross. Nothing's left out. There's no addendum. It's everything, past, present, and future. Nothing's overlooked. Nothing goes unpaid. Tetelestai. It is finished. He was saying the debt has been paid in full, and it's not by you, it's not by me, but it's by Almighty God in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's paid. Now, John chapter 17, verse 4 tells us that it's finished. Jesus did everything the Father sent him to do. He finished it. He accomplished his mission. All the business that Jesus had to do was taken care of. He finished his mission, but you have not. You have unfinished business, and so do I. In fact, as long as you breathe, you have unfinished business. There was this time walked out to my yard and I noticed there was this wet spot and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I thought, well, maybe the sprinklers are hitting it different or something happened or maybe I've been watering too long. So I just kind of noticed it for a week or two. But as time went on, I noticed that the spot, you could even just see, like it started getting browner. And you could see it was mushy. I walked over and it was mushy and the spot was getting bigger and bigger. And I thought, oh man, all right, maybe I have a leak or something, you know, maybe my sprinkler head's bad. And so I just try to, you know, unscrew the sprinkler head, check it out. There's no problem there. I'm like, oh, you know what that means. There's a leak in the PVC. And so dig a little bit bigger to and then I notice there's just a little prick, just a little tiny leak. I said, man, I am not going down this road, dealing with PVC and all that. I do not want to do that. I know what I'll do. I'll just ignore it. It's a pain to try and fix that. I'll just ignore it. I won't get into the whole story. The ignoring didn't go so well. Created a bigger problem down the road. I'll just ignore it. That's what a lot of us do. We ignore those little things in our life that we're like, ah, it's no big deal. It's manageable. But little leaks do damage over time. That little leak was causing more water to be wasted every single day. It was softening all the ground underneath. It was creating a bigger problem even below the surface that I didn't realize was going on, that I couldn't see from above. And some of us, we have a leak right now in our life. We have a little bit of bitterness in our life, and we think we can manage it. We have a little bit of compromise. We have a little secret habit. We have a little neglected area within our marriage. We have a little financial leak and financial foolishness. We have a little bit of spiritual drift in our life. We have a little bit of delayed obedience in our life. And because it seems just, you know, not so big, it's small, we tell ourselves, oh, it's okay, it'll be fine. But what do small things do? They grow. God is calling you today to address that which is still unfinished in your life. And that's why Jesus would say to the church in Sardis, Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, Jesus said to them, I know your deeds, and I know you have a reputation of what? Of being alive. That's your reputation. That's what everybody sees. But in fact, you are, everybody say it with me, you're dead. You're dead. You have a reputation like, yeah, the marriage is great. Everybody thinks you guys have this best marriage on the planet. But you know deep down, there isn't really any intimacy going on. You have a reputation of being alive, but in fact, you're dead. Others of you, maybe you have this like nice car, nice house, whatever the case may be, and everybody looks at you and think, man, they got it together, and financially, they are really solid and really strong, but the reality is, you know, debt has a chokehold on your life, and it's hurting you day in and day out. Maybe spiritually speaking, people will look at you and go, oh my gosh, that person is a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God. Man, they are a spiritual giant. But the reality is you know that you're spiritually dry, that there isn't really any intimacy with God, and you don't take the time to spend time with God and be in his presence. Jesus said you have a reputation of being alive, but the reality is you're dead. You're really dead. And so what did Jesus say? Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Wake up. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds what? I found your deeds unfinished. Not complete. I found your deeds unfinished in the sight of God. You have some unfinished business. So wake up and strengthen what remains today. The problem might be small. You might say it's a little leak, but over time, that will be enormous. You have unfinished business, and God wants to help you and help you complete the task. The Apostle Paul said this in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He said, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish. Everybody say finish. To finish the race and what? And complete the task the Lord has given me. For him, what was his task? Verse 24, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. See, that's what Paul was supposed to do. He had unfinished business. He hadn't finished yet. He had unfinished business, and so do you. And so the question is, what is it for you? What is it for you? What is that unfinished business? I believe that God would be calling you today to identify that, to acknowledge it. If Life Point's your home, and that's the case for most of you, this is like your church family, and if you aren't in some type of small group or life group or something where you're sharing life with people in faith, listen, you have unfinished business. Why? Because you can't be totally plugged in and being a part of the body of Christ unless you're connected with others, sharing God's word together and sharing life together and praying together and serving together. If that's you, you have unfinished business. Maybe you aren't serving. Sure, you're here faithfully week in, week out. But the reality is, what are you doing? You're consuming and not contributing. You're receiving from God, but God is calling you to give back. You have unfinished business. What does God want? God wants you to use your gift, your skills, your abilities, your talents. He wants you to use those for the glory of his kingdom, to use those to bless the body of Christ. You have unfinished business. For some of you, maybe your unfinished business is physical. The reality is you're not eating right. You're not taking care of yourself physically. You know, the whole, you know, the physical temple God's given us. Maybe for you, God is calling you to get in shape. You have unfinished business. Maybe financially, maybe you've got some unfinished business. And for you, it's time to seek God. It's time to get on a budget. It's time to honor God with a biblical plan with the resources that God has entrusted to your care. Maybe for some of us, for some of you, your commitment to God was, God, you're going to get my first fruits. And I'm going to give that to you faithfully. I'm going to give you my tithe. I'm going to give you my offering. You had good intentions, but you never followed through. If that's you, you have unfinished business. Maybe your relationship is struggling. Maybe your marriage is struggling. And rather than point the finger, rather than blame, rather than criticize, maybe for some of you, it's like, it's time to own the marriage. It's time to get on your knees and go before Almighty God and repent and allow the Spirit of God to move in your heart and move in your life and allow the Spirit to correct you and allow the Spirit to lead you because you have unfinished business. And then I suspect there's a lot of us here. You know that God, there's somebody God wants you to share the love of Christ with, that God wants to use you to reach them. They're in your SOI, your sphere of influence. We talk about that here all the time. And God's calling you to do that. You have unfinished business. As Scott mentioned, you have those invite cards. And God's called you to invite that person to church, to Easter. You have unfinished business. Identify your unfinished business. And just let the presence of God, let the Spirit of God guide you and lead you and direct you to help you finish strong. Jesus, knowing that everything was now completed, he said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." So the question is, how do we like Jesus? He did it. How do we finish strong? How do we finish strong? Well, first of all, in order to finish strong, God's word teaches us to make a finishing decision. In other words, decide to be a finisher. A lot of people are stuck, and they're stuck because they never actually make a decision. They never actually decide. They talk about it. They hope. They wish. They delay. They circle around. They read books about finishing. They read books about getting organized or this or that. But they don't change because they never decide. And I get it. Most people don't really like making commitments today. In fact, raise your hand if you have ever sent out an RSVP to a group of people. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Now leave your hand up. How many of you wish people would respond better to your RSVP? Right? Everybody, right? Right? We're all like, man, why won't they decide? They don't decide. They don't tell you because they're keeping their options open. It's just our culture these days. But we delay decisions. We're like, I need more time, or I need more information, or more certainty, or more clarity. And if we get stuck in that indecision, going back and forth and waiting for the perfect moment, listen, it never comes. Here's the reality, and you already know this. Indecision is actually a what? It's a decision. Indecision is a decision. Not choosing is choosing. And over time, our lack of decisions will shape our life just as much, if not more, as some bold decision that we make. God has called us to make a decision. Proverbs chapter 4 says this in verse 26. It says, "Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways." In other words, the direction you choose determines the destination that you actually experience. Scripture is clear about this pattern over and over and over again. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says this, "A man reaps what he sows." Your choices, they just compound over time. James chapter 1, verse 8 tells us this, that when we have a divided mind, we're unstable in all that we do. A divided mind, what is it? It leads to a divided life in our life. And that's why over and over and over again, God calls his people to choose, to make a decision. In fact, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, it says this, "Choose in about a year who you're going to serve." What does it say? Choose what? Choose what?
Today.
Choose today, now, today, whom you will serve. Not someday, not when you feel ready, not when you have all the answers. Choose today. Choose today. Spiritual growth doesn't happen by accident. It happens by decision. So commit. Commit to a finishing decision. Decide. Make a decision that I'm going to be a finisher. Jesus, he decided to be a finisher. And just before the crucifixion, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to his heavenly Father, and he said this. He said in Matthew 26, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me." In other words, he's like, hey, is there any other way, God? If there is, that you could just take this and remove this from me, that'd be great. But then what did he do? He made a decision. He made a decision that no matter what, I'm following God and I'm doing God's will. Matthew 26, verse 39, yet I want your will to be done and not mine. I want the will of God done in my life. Is that your prayer? Is that your decision? I want the will of God done in my life. It doesn't matter how much pain, how much ridicule, or how much torture would be coming for Jesus shortly after this moment in the garden. I believe in that moment, Jesus made a finishing decision. There was no turning back for him. He said right there, God, your will be done and not mine. I can remember this season of my life where I had to make a pretty major decision. It was a difficult decision. So much so, and I knew that there would be fallout from the decision. And so I didn't want to make the decision because it would be extremely uncomfortable. And I knew that there would be repercussions to the decision. And so I found myself saying, I need to just keep praying about it. I just need to keep praying. So I kept praying and I kept praying. But the reality is, what was I doing? I was just delaying. That's all I was doing. There's a difference between praying and delaying. Prayer's good. We should all be praying to our Heavenly Father. But delay dressed up like prayer, it's not good. There comes a point when it's clear. You don't need more time. You just need courage. You don't need more time. You just need to make a decision. And I, trust me, I get it. I get how difficult that is. Here's what I discovered in my life, and it took a lot to get there, but I finally came to the moment where I made a decision. It's what I need to do, and I need to step into this. And as soon as I did that, like I decided, this huge weight lifted off of my life. Not because everything got easy, because then there was a season where things were pretty challenging. But it got easier. Because I stopped living, divided in my mind. I stopped living this unstable life, as James talked about. Some of you, man, you're carrying a heavy, heavy load right now. And the reason you're carrying that load is because you just haven't decided yet. And I hope you will hear this. Just like from my heart, you don't need more information at this point. You don't need more prayer, frankly, at this point. You don't need more time to go by. You need a decision because you know what God is asking you to do. You already know what God has called you to do. What do you need to do now? You just need to step over the line, to cross over the line. So you decide, you make a decision. I'm going to be a finisher. Commit to a finishing decision. And then second, then go execute a finishing action. In other words, take the next step and then take it again and again and again. You commit and then you execute. You decide and then you move into the decision and you move. You commit and you execute. You commit to the decision. You take the next step. I want you to look at what Paul said. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11, he said, now, finish the work. Finish it so that your eager willingness, in other words, emotionally, you're like, yeah, okay, I'll make a decision. That's great. I make a finishing decision. That's wonderful. But now you finish it so that your eager willingness to do it will be matched by your actual completion of it. See, Paul's saying, don't just hope. Execute. Take a forward step. Don't just say it. You got to start there, make a decision, but then do something about it. That's what Jesus did. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it tells us this. As the time drew near that Jesus would be taken up into heaven, he made up his mind and he set out on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus set out. He executed. He took the next step and then the next step and then the next step. And when he got close to Jerusalem, he got on the donkey and he rode into Jerusalem, which would be today, Palm Sunday. The triumphal entry of Jesus into the city, and they lay down the palm branches, and the people shout out, Hosanna, Hosanna, like save us, save us, save us. The human condition, we have always known deep down, We can't save ourselves. We need somebody else to save us. Later, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives after the Last Supper. Jesus, why would you do that? Why would you take that step? You know Judas is coming, and you know he's bringing soldiers. Why would you do that? He could have hid somewhere else, but no. He continued to execute the steps necessary that would ultimately lead to his death. And God is calling you to take the next steps, to finish your race, to complete the task that the Lord has given you. You have unfinished business, and God is calling you to finish. In the 1968 Olympics, they were held in Mexico City. And there was this marathon runner from Tanzania named John Stephen Akari. And so the marathon starts, and they all head off. Early in the race, he started to cramp up, and it got worse and worse and worse. He didn't know if it was dehydration because of the altitude in Mexico City. He didn't know, but it was just kept getting worse. And then he got his feet tangled up with a couple of the runners, and he buckled hard. Landed on his knee. His knee was throbbing, and it was in so much pain. He tried to stand up. He could hardly even move. Then he realized after he had that pain, he didn't realize how much his shoulder hurt as he had hit the ground and landed on the ground. So he has this hurt shoulder, this knee that he can hardly walk on. They had to, after trying to move and move forward, he couldn't do it. They had to carry him out. Race is over for John Stephen. Well, a little while later, he made a decision. I'm going to finish. I'm coming back in, and I'm going to do this. Well, by the time he got back into the stadium, everything was done. The winner, he finished an hour and a half earlier. There's no real crowd left. The momentum, the energy, it was all gone. So there was nobody waiting for him. There was no medal. There's no recognition. There's no applause. For John Stephen, all there was a choice and pain, a decision and pain, and painful step by painful step, limping, struggling, he did end up crossing the finish line. Afterward, a reporter came up to him and said, John Stephen, I mean, that's nice that you finished, but no one's around, and why'd you do that? You didn't need to do that. Why didn't you quit? Why didn't you just stay down when you had every reason to stop? His answer was one of the most powerful statements in sports history. And John Stephen said this. He said, "My country did not send me 10,000 miles to start a race. My country sent me 10,000 miles to finish it, to finish the race." A lot of us, we know how to start. Most of us do, but not everybody knows how to finish. It's easy to start strong. It's easy to start motivated, and it's emotional, and we start and we say we're committed, but finishing is different. Finishing means you'll finish. You'll finish, even when it hurts, when it's inconvenient, when no one's watching, when all the emotion and the excitement is gone, when everything in you wants to quit, you finish. You finish, even when it would be so much easier to stop. And that's why the words of Jesus matter so much to you and so much to me. His words on the cross. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I started something." Jesus didn't say, I almost made it. I need to come down from the cross. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, John, you're there. I mean, I told you to take care of my mom, but I changed my mind. Can you come up here and finish this for me?" He didn't do that. He said, "It is finished. Tetelestai. Paid in full. Mission accomplished. Nothing undone. The final sacrifice has been made for your sins and for my sins." So, what is your unfinished business? What's the leak in your life that you've been ignoring? What step of obedience have you been delaying? What conversation have you been avoiding? What sin do you just keep tolerating in your life and you've learned to manage it and be okay with it? What calling from God have you postponed? And have you continued to postpone? What relationship needs your attention right now? What decision do you already know that needs to be made? What is it that God is calling you to? And I hope you don't miss this. The reason that you can face your unfinished business is because Jesus faced the business that is the most important business of all, and that's our salvation. And our salvation, it doesn't count on, or it doesn't demand, or it doesn't hang on you finishing anything. It only hangs on His and what He did. So today, I hope you hear this. Today's message is not, hey, try harder. It's not what it is. Today's message is just trust deeper. Trust deeply. And then obey God boldly. Trust Him and what He's done and obey Him boldly. So what is it for you? Make the decision and then take the action. Finish the work that God has put in front of you. Let's pray about that. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank You for Your goodness. God, thank You for Your grace. Thank You that we can stand here today and affirm Your victory, that You finished it all. You paid the price for us. You modeled for us what it looks like to not just start something, but to finish something. And we're so grateful for that. And God, I ask that You'd hear our prayers right now as we trust You deeply and we obey You courageously. So what is that for you? What's your unfinished business? I invite every single person here to take that before the Lord right now. Tell Him what it is. What's that leak in your life? What's unfinished? Ask God to give you the strength to trust Him deeply and to obey Him courageously. And as you're doing that, I suspect that somebody's unfinished business is this. You haven't yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so you're sitting there right now, and I just want to let you know, you don't have to let the final word over your life be sin and shame and death. Jesus already spoke the final word. It is finished. He's already paid the price for your sin. And so today, you have an opportunity, because for you, you get to choose. Choose today who you're going to serve. Today is your day of salvation. And if you're sitting there and you're hearing my voice and the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and you're like, yeah, you're right. Today's my day. Today's I make the decision to give my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, I want to walk with you in that. I want to pray with you right now. And I'm going to invite you to pray with me and ask Jesus to come into your life. Pray something like this. Say, Jesus, thank You so much for Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy. Thank You, Jesus, for Your patience with me. And I thank You that You love me so much that You would choose to die, that You would choose to finish Your work on the cross so that my debt could be paid in full. And so, Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And as best as I understand right now, in faith, I surrender my life to You. I give over my life to You. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for loving me. I love You. In Jesus' name I pray. God, You've heard all of our prayers. We recognize, God, that You are a good, good God. We worship You. We praise You. We exalt You. We lift our hearts. We lift our voices. We lift our life to You. And we declare this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.